Please, to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And what we're going to be talking about in this session today, we're talking about the name of Jesus. And that's what the Lord instructed me to bring to you, talking about the name of Jesus, the name which is above every sickness and every disease. You know, I don't know how many names of sicknesses and diseases there are. Thousands of names, categories of different kinds of sicknesses. I mean, I went online a few weeks ago and I was looking it up. And then I went over to Deuteronomy 28, the last part of it from verse 15 or so on, talking about the curse of the law. And you know we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And it started listing out all of these different kinds of diseases that we have been redeemed from. And it said, even those diseases that are not written in this book, that we are redeemed from that. So no matter what the name of it is, and there are names, they give names to sicknesses and diseases. No matter what the name is, there is one name which is above that name, and it is the name of
Jesus.
Say him again.
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
Jesus is that name. And so really, if I could summarize it for you, then we'll get into it. That's the one thing that's the takeaway of this message today. The name of Jesus is above the name of whatever it is you may be dealing with or going through. It's above that name. It has dominion over that name. And we'll find scriptures for you. We'll look at those scriptures and keep that in mind as we're going through this today. The name of Jesus is above the name of cancer. It's above the name of cancer. It's above the name of tuberculosis. It's above the name of leukemia. It's above the name of every name that can be named. There is one name that stands above it, that carries the power of God for that cancer to bow its knee to what? The name which is above every name. So let's take a look at this. And when somebody asks you later on today, what did Pastor George preach about? You're going to tell him that he preached about
the name.
And that name is what? It's above
every
name. That's what we're talking about here. And we need to get that down on the inside of us so that it's not just something that we mentally convey, but it's something that is so rock solid on the inside of us. The name of Jesus is above every name. The name of Jesus is above the name of lack. It's above the name of poverty. It's above the name of fear. You and I should have a zero tolerance where fear is concerned. Zero tolerance policy for fear. Some say a little fear is good. Not for me. No. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So you use that name. You use the name of Jesus because it carries with it the power to do whatever that name has been designed to do. So turn to Proverbs chapter 18. We'll start there. Proverbs chapter 18 and looking at verse 10. And it says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and is safe. So in talking about the name of the Lord, it's described here as a tower. It's a tower. And a tower is something that you go into and you get up. And at the top of that tower, you have the ability to look all around you and see everything around you and everything that's going on. I can remember years ago when I'd take my family to see my parents on Cape Cod, and we would drive down to the end of the Cape and just have a wonderful time together. But about midway through, there was a place called the Scargo Hill Tower. And it was built on a large hill. And then this tower was made of stones. It was just stones back in the 1800s. And we go to that place and we go up to that tower. And it was amazing because the view from that tower was spectacular. You get up at the top of the tower and you could see all the way from one end of Cape Cod to the other. And you can look behind you and you could see the Atlantic Ocean on one side and the Atlantic Ocean on the other side. What a view that it was to be able to see that. And what is a tower supposed to do? It's a place that keeps you safe. It's a place that keeps you protected. That's what towers were used for in the early days when villages were protecting themselves. They would go to the tower for protection. Well, the Amplified Translation says, the consistently righteous man who is upright and in right standing with God runs into it and is safe, listen to this, high above evil and strong. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And we are able to run into it. And what it does is it takes us to a place high above evil. You know that sickness is evil. You know that disease is evil. You know that fear is evil. And the name of the Lord is a high tower. And we run into it. You run into that name. And it is high above evil. And it is a strong thing. It makes us strong. Let me read this to you from Psalm 61:3 in the New Living. That says, you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. I like that. And the strong tower, I'll read that again. You are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. In the tower of the name of Jesus, you are untouchable. Untouchable. Anybody remember the show called The Untouchables? There was a movie, but before that, there was a TV show called The Untouchables. And that's who we are. We are the untouchables. We are the ones that in the name of Jesus, we are in that place of divine protection. And that includes sickness and disease. Now, you can be anywhere and you can live in that tower of protection. Let's say you're going on a plane ride. Some of you, how many of you flew here on a plane to get to us? You were on a plane. You were with a lot of people. And the way I envision it is that in Christ Jesus and in that name that we have, and you know, whenever we board a commercial flight, I've been doing this for years and years and years. Before I step over the threshold, I stop. And I put my hand out, and a lot of times we fly American Airlines, so there's red everywhere. There's blood red everywhere. And I touch the threshold going in. And in the name of Jesus, I claim this aircraft for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No evil or calamity or harm shall come with us. Pastor George is on this flight in the name of Jesus. And we are going to reach our destination perfectly and safely. And then in declaring, I declare the blood of the Lamb. I plead the blood of Jesus over this flight today. And when I sit down on that flight, you know, you get into a closed space like that. And there are people all around you. And no telling what's going on the inside of these people. But there might be some germ that has coughed during that flight. And there's a germ that's in that area on the plane. And all of a sudden it's traveling towards you. And it's getting closer and closer and closer. But it comes within your airspace. The airspace of the name of Jesus. The airspace of the glory of God. The airspace of the power of God. And it hits the tower. Bang. Dead. Gone. That's the way we should live. I don't care what kind of epidemic they say is going on out there. We are protected by the name. We are cleansed by the blood. We may be in this world, but we are not of it. You and I are not of it. And on the contrary, when I go onto that plane, I bring the healing power of God with me. I bring the healing power of God with me. And just pray. When I sit down and we pray over the flight going over the threshold. We pray over the flight sitting there getting ready to take off and pray over everybody on that flight. Boy, they're covered. They're covered. But see, we're living in that tower. If you're in Christ Jesus, then you're in the tower. You're in the tower. And evil can't touch you. Sickness can't touch you. Disease can't touch you. It has to go. It has to leave. Because the name of the Lord is a high tower, and we are safe from our enemies in it. Give God praise for that. The name. Say the name. The name of Jesus. Turn to Acts chapter 4. I want to go through some scriptures with you in this, some scriptures that the Lord just ministered to me about this in renewing my thinking about it. I went back and I was listening to some messages that Brother Copeland preached many years ago, 1978. I've been working for Kenneth Copeland Ministries since 1976. This is my 43rd year I'm coming up to at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And so in the early days, I would travel with him on all of the meetings that he went on. Now, I'm going on most of the meetings these days, but back then we had a victory campaign every other week. That's a lot. A lot was going on. And so we would go out on these victory campaigns, and there was a 2-year period where I traveled with him consistently. So I'd listen to what he was saying, and he'd be preaching along a certain line. And what I would do, and there are several series that I actually created out of the messages that he preached. And one of the series was The Name of Jesus, The Name Above Every Name. That's a series that this ministry has. And I was listening to it the other day to refresh myself in all of this. The Name Above Every Name. And Brother Copeland was preaching along, and I remember I actually put that series together because one of my jobs on the road was to duplicate the tapes, the cassette tapes. Cassettes. I would duplicate those, but I would listen very carefully to what he was saying, and I'd pull this one out, and then we'd go someplace else, I'd pull that one out, and I'd start putting together the series. So I put this series together on The Name Above Every Name, and I never had the revelation like that before. How powerful that name was. How powerful it is to know that there is a name that is above every name. Say every name.
Every name.
There's a name that's above it. No matter what is going on in the economy, you and I are operating in kingdom economy. And no matter what is happening out there, we're in the strong tower of the name, and it cannot touch us. It can't touch us. Depression cannot touch us. And all of the other isms that go along with the economy, it cannot touch us because the government of the kingdom of God is always going upward. And we're in that government. We're in the government of the kingdom of God. You and I are. So we cannot be touched. And you have to have that mentality and knowing that there is a name which is above the name of anything and everything. You know, the next time the devil tries to attack you, no matter what it is. Let's say if he's trying to put some kind of a flu symptom on you. You know what to do. There is a name which is above the name of flu. Flu, you bow your knee. You bow your name to the name which is above every name. The name of Jesus. And really, when you do that, hell itself shakes to the core when they hear the name of Jesus, because it was Jesus himself who defeated every sickness and disease that came upon him in the pit of hell, and he was raised from the dead, and you and I were raised up with him to be seated in heavenly places. We're seated in those places. And so sickness and disease has no place in us. I'm so thankful to know that. You know, when I was listening to Brother Copeland preaching about that so many years ago, 1978 is when that came out. And I remember coming from a place where there was a real question whether or not it was God's will for us to be healed. Because maybe he's putting that sickness and disease on you for some reason. And I've done some study online about it, and I'll be reading along somebody's study about healing. And all of a sudden, they will start making the doubt-creating phrase, you never know if it's God's will for you to be healed. Well, that's the first thing that you need to know when you come to a meeting like this. It is unquestionably God's will for you to be healed and whole and well. It is his will. It is his will. And I remember growing up when I first got saved and I was growing up and not receiving this kind of teaching. And there was always a question about it. There's always a question whether or not it was his will for me to be healed or not. But once I got involved in this ministry and began to study the things that were being preached to me and taught to me, there's no question whatsoever. It is the will. It's not only the will of God, it is the passion of God. It is such a passion of His to see His people well. You know, when the blind man came to Jesus, Jesus said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to be healed. I want to be able to see." Jesus says, "I will." That was not, I might do that for you. That was, "I have to do that for you." That was a covenant phrase. "I will for you to be healed." So we have to know that. We have to have comprehension of the fact that it is the perfect will of God for us to be healed. I don't know what it is that you may have come in with. I don't know what it is that may be in your body. But number one, first of all, it is the will of God for you to be healed. Then you need to know that there's a name. There's a name which is above every name. There's a name above, you name it, the name of Jesus is above it. No matter what the sickness is, no matter what the condition is, no matter how long it's been, because part of the curse of the law is sicknesses of long duration. We've been redeemed from that. You and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law, and we walk in the blessing of Abraham. And there's a name which is above those names. Let's talk about the name in Acts chapter 4. Did I have you go over there? Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's a powerful statement. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. The name. What is that name? It's the name of Jesus. And I really do believe it's fascinating to me, because you think about all of the personalities that have gone behind us, and all of those names that have been so popular. You take an actor's name like Cary Grant. Now, a lot of us in here remember Cary Grant. There may be somebody in here that doesn't know about Cary Grant. But Cary Grant was a huge star in his day. And I was talking to a young person the other day about some things, and I happened to mention the name of Cary Grant. And they said, "Who?" Ooh. Now, here's one for you, because it's really something when it starts happening to your kids. Jeremy and Sarah, my son, daughter-in-law, in their ministry, they've had the folks that have come in that have served for them, young people that have come in as interns and served in the ministry. And so Jeremy was talking to a couple of them one day about music and just about different styles of music and so forth. And I guess he said something like, "Well, for instance, the Beatles." Yeah. And this one young person looked at him and said, "Who are the Beatles?" Well, it's fascinating to me, because you even go back further than that, and name after name after name after name, who was very popular at one time. People, actors, politicians, extremely popular at one time, and then all of a sudden there's a whole generation that no longer knows that name. I'm telling you, folks, there's one. There's one. There is one name that has lasted through time and shall last through eternity. There is one name that will stand out from every other name, and it is the name of, shout it out, Jesus. Jesus. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The word "saved" there is the word sozo, and it means delivered, healed, to be made whole, restored to health. Now, within the context of that word sozo, there are other words in there like protection and safety. But for our purposes today, we're talking about healing. And in the healing power of God, that word, there is no other name given among men whereby we may be healed. There's one name. There's one name. And it's the name of Jesus. What a powerful name. the powerful name. If you look at Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, and we'll start with verse 19. Ephesians 1, 19. I'll give you a test, a pop quiz. There's only one name, only one name that's above every other name. What is that name?
Jesus.
Okay, you passed that pop quiz. You're good. You're doing good. In Ephesians 1, look with me at we'll start in verse 19. And it says, well, let's back up a little bit. In verse 16, we cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all. Keep that in mind. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We're talking about eternity. For eternity, King Jesus will reign. For eternity, throughout eternity, there are names that will come and they will go. Cary Grant had his time. That name has come and it's gone. But there's only one name, and that is the name of Jesus, which has stood the test of time. He's the one that defeated Satan for eternity. It says, and every name that is named, far above every name that is named, not only in this world, also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. In that verse 22, there's something very interesting. I was listening to Brother Copeland preach about this one day, and he said something that absolutely revolutionized my thinking about this. And where it says he's put all things under his feet, it really should read, he's put all names under his feet. See, that word there, things, is really the word names. Names. So what has Jesus done? He's put all names under his feet and gave him to be the head over all names to the church. So we see here that every name that is named is under the name of Jesus. You name a disease, and there's a name that's above that name. There's a name that's above that name. All names, it says, far above every name that is named. I like what the Amplified Translation says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred. Any title that can be conferred. It's the name of Jesus which is above that name, having authority over that name. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. There's a name which is above every name. There's a name which is above whatever condition any person is dealing with right now. There's a name above that. There's a name that's over that. And there's a healing name that comes into the heart of a person to be able to see them delivered and made whole. The name. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, being made, this is talking about Jesus, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus obtained a more excellent name than the angels. And when it says more excellent in the Greek, that means surpassing. He's been given a surpassing name, even above the angels. The Message translation says, far higher than any angel in rank and rule. Jesus has the highest rank of all. He carries the highest rank that there possibly is. So we see there that he has this surpassing, it's an excellent name. It's an excellent name. And think about this as we're talking about the name of Jesus, being born again, you and I being born again, we have Him living on the inside of us. The name of all names is in here. We have Him dwelling on the inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He who is in me than whatever it is that's in me that's trying to work against me. The greater one is in me. And what happens is the more revelation you get of that and understanding you get of that, it forces whatever is wrong or whatever shouldn't be there, it forces it out, and whatever should be there, it brings it back in. He is the healer of every sickness and every disease. It says over and over again in the Gospels, He healed every sickness and every disease. And to be able to live a life without sickness and disease, no matter what the age is, it is the will of God for you to be 100 years old and living a vibrant, perfected life in Him. We're developing that. We're working on that. Brother Copeland's working. He's working towards that 120 years. He and I talked about it this week. He talks about it all the time. He's in the Word of God. He's eating well. He's exercising daily. He's 82 years old. 82 years old. And he's doing all of that. And that's what every one of us, you better believe that I'm at the gym here. You think I would not do that in the light of what he is doing? I have no excuse. None whatsoever. Because the man of God at 82 years old has his sights on 120. I'll tell you, if you can break the barrier, if you can break the poverty barrier, which that's what this ministry has helped to do. Break through the poverty barrier. Break through the barrier. I'll give you another example of a ministry being able to operate debt free. After 52 years, we're still operating debt free. You are sitting in debt-free chairs, standing on debt-free carpet, in a debt-free building, and nothing on this property. There's not one thing that we owe anybody else to except to love them. Now, that's a commitment that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland made many years ago, 1967. They made that dedication. Back in a time where ministries, everybody's borrowing. Everybody's borrowing. But Kenneth and Gloria stepped out there and it's like breaking the 1 minute mile. They were running this race, and this is what the Lord told them to do. So they did it, and they're still doing it. So there are barriers that are broken through. There's a barrier of the mentality of how old you can get. There are some people that think that 70 is about it. 65 is retirement. No way, 65 is refirement. It's time to refire. There's no retirement in sight for any of us around here. There's a work to be done. But they have that mentality on the inside of them that things need to break down. I heard that. I went to a dentist one day, and I was sitting out in the lobby, and this was the day after a church service that we had, and I was preaching on the power of the tongue, how we have to control what we say. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. They that partake of it shall partake of that, of whatever it is that they're saying. So I was fresh off of that message, and I had an early morning 9 o'clock, 8:30 appointment at the dentist. And I'm sitting there and I'm reading my Bible, very quiet. And all of a sudden this man comes out and they start talking to him about setting up another appointment because there were some things in there that he needed to get them fixed. And he said, well, you know, when you turn 60, things start breaking down. And my spirit screamed, no! No! You can't receive that. You can't receive that. I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120. You have to take your stand on the name of Jesus and press into the good life, the abundant life, the overflow life that God has for your physical body. Our minds are supposed to work just like Adam's did in the garden. Naming everything. Guy named everything. He's brilliant. Brilliant. And I tell myself, you are brilliant. Pastor George, you're brilliant. You have a brilliant mind. Now, I'm not being prideful about that. I'm just confessing that over my mind. I have a brilliant mind. Things come to me easily. I was with a couple of people the other day in the office, and we're figuring out some assignment that Brother Copeland gave us, and found out technically exactly what he wanted couldn't be done because of some space limitations. And right in the middle of that, we just stopped for a moment. I said, Lord, show us what to do. And without getting into detail, an idea came down into my heart and into my mind about how to do what Brother Copeland was wanting to do without the space that it was going to take to do it. See, that's brilliant. That was brilliant. But you have to stay with that, because you can get to a place, the older you get, you can get to a place where you forget one thing and you go, uh-oh, I've stepped into that forgetting place now. Uh-oh. And then start getting, get fearful over it. Stop that. Stop that. When Terry and I talk to each other, and when we speak with each other about those kinds of things, and she brings something, asks me a question about when was this or who was that, and I'll say to her, wait a minute, it's processing. It's coming. Sometimes in the middle of the night it'll come. 1987. So... But that's what you have to do. You have to speak the name over your body. That body's been given to you as a gift from God to take care of and to speak over. And so there is a name which is above the name of every evil thing that would try to come against that body, every infirmity, and whatever it is can be turned around. I'm telling you, whatever it is. I pointed at the camera and they went to another camera. Whatever it is that you're going through, it can be turned around. Say, turn around. Turn around. And it really is. It begins with the words of your mouth, the things that you speak, the things that you say. There can be, we're here in Hebrews. You just go right next door. You go right next door to James chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. When we're talking about your words that you speak, we're talking about words, speaking words in the name of Jesus over the physical body, over the physical condition. And it says here, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature man. And listen, also able to bridle the whole body. That's not just talking about the control of sin. That's talking about the healing of the body. He's able to bridle or take command of the body. Take command of your body in the name of Jesus. He will back what you say from his word. My body is healed. My body is whole. I command in the name of Jesus, whatever that situation is, you bow your knee to the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. And that's what it's saying here. With our words, we take control of the situation. With the word, we take control, and we're able to bridle the whole body. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians, we see. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 9. This is talking about Jesus. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, and he's given him a name. Brother Copeland said that really should be translated his name. Given him his name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of names in heaven, names in earth, and names under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We see here, this just lays it out for us. God's highly exalted him. He's given him his name, and that name is above every name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, every sickness and disease has a name. Every sickness and disease has a name. And whatever the name is, it must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Get that down on the inside. I'll say it again. Every sickness and disease has a name. Every one of them. Whatever the name, it must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. It's like that tree in Mark 11 that wasn't producing fruit. And Jesus spoke to it in faith. And that dried up from the roots. It dried up from the roots. And whatever is going on the inside, you begin to speak to it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever that thing is, it will begin to dry up from the roots. It will begin on the inside first. The healing takes place on the inside. It's working on the inside. And then it begins to show on the outside. I did that many years ago. I did a really dumb thing. I went over to somebody's house to borrow a lawnmower. And it was just me alone by myself. And so he wasn't there. So that lawnmower was very heavy. So what did I do? I picked it up by myself and I really wrenched my back. Oh, it hurt. It hurt. I got it in the car, got it home, but I could not mow the lawn because my back was in such terrible condition. And so I went to a chiropractor friend of mine and he worked on it. And I went back several times. We worked on it. He tried to stretch it. He tried to do things to it. And it was one of those things that I would be laying in bed in the morning and I would have to lay there and think about getting out of bed. I would have to just start positioning myself. And it's not where, and even to this day, this morning I jumped out of bed. I jump out of bed every morning. I leap out of bed every morning. I didn't think about that till just now. Because I think about that time that I could not get out. And I'm so grateful to the Lord that I can literally jump. I bound out of bed in the morning. But I would lay there and think, I got to get out of bed. I have to get out of bed. And I just start moving one leg and move the other leg. And it was really painful. And I went back to this doctor who's a Christian friend of mine. And he and I were talking and he said, let's just pray about this because the only thing I can recommend to you now is surgery. And I just didn't get a witness about surgery. I just did not get the witness about that. So we prayed together. And I remember walking outside to the parking lot to my car. And this thought came to me. I said, well, Lord, it's just you and me. And you know what? There was a real great calm that came over me. And there was a real peace because when they say it's impossible, when they say it can't be done, then the peace of God comes on you because it's just you and him. It's you and him. And I pulled my scriptures together and I just began to confess and declare the word of God. I actually made a recording of it and I would speak it together with myself. Then I'd listen to it and get it down on the inside. And I remember it was a week or so after that. I remember laying in bed thinking to myself, I need to get up. I need to put my legs over. Except this time when I moved my legs, there was no pain. I got up and I stood up and it was like, there's no pain. It's gone. It's gone. It's absolutely gone. And to this day, I mean, look at me, Jack LaLanne. Who's Jack LaLanne? Is anybody, who does not know Jack LaLanne? His hands. Okay. Anyway, but I had to come to the place where I knew that there was one name that was above the name of back pain. That was above the name of back pain. And I'm telling you, there was such a deliverance. It was overnight. It happened overnight. Well, it had been building and building and building and building up on the inside of me to the degree where it just caught hold and took place. And I have done very well since that time. And we're talking about, this is back probably in the 93, 94, something like that. And it worked. It worked. Guys, there's a name. Musicians, make your way up here. There's a name. There's a name which is above the name of back pain. There's a name which is above the name of cancer. There's a name which is above the name of any other name, leukemia, whatever it is, any kind of issues, any kind of diseases. There's a name which is above the name, and it is the name of Jesus. And we must invoke the name of Jesus. What do I mean by invoking the name of Jesus? I'm talking about speaking that name. I'm talking about studying these things out and just getting the concept and the idea of how powerful that name is. The name of Jesus, it said it's the name which is above every name. Every name. There is no name, not one, not one in the medical books that is not subject to the name of Jesus. Not one. Not one. Say Jesus.
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 And whatever you do in His name, He will back that.
Amen.
He will back it. It's there for you. It's there for you to utilize and to operate. And He really does. There's this scripture. Whoops. And there's a scripture in Mark 16. Turn there really quick. Mark 16. And I'll read this to you, and then we'll take some time to minister. Oh, this is good. This is good. In Mark chapter 16. And this is the Great Commission. This is the Great Commission. Go ahead and begin to play. In verse 15, and Jesus said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs, a sign," and I wrote this down in my Bible, "a sign is an unusual occurrence that transcends the common course of nature." That's what a miracle is. You want to write that down? You want to get that? A sign or a miracle, it is an unusual occurrence. An unusual occurrence. Transcending the common course of nature. The common course of nature. It is a remarkable event. A remarkable event. Any kind of healing is a remarkable event. To see something that transcends the natural course, when a person perhaps has a surgery or they have heart surgery. Even though a person may go in for surgery. And you know what? We prayed for folks. We believe with folks about all of that. To go in there in the name of Jesus. See, we don't condemn. We support. We help. We're all on this learning course together of developing our faith. But a person goes in, for instance, and they have heart surgery. And the doctor says it's going to take 3 to 6 months for you to recover and to be restored. Well, what do? We go to the Word of God and we say, okay, I'm going to exercise my faith in the name of Jesus. This will not take long at all. I receive it right now. I receive it right now. And it begins the process, that remarkable event that's taking place on the inside of you. In the name of Jesus, there's some remarkable events that need to take place with you right now. You know, I was talking.